This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on Red-Hot-Mama.com. This is episode number 94 on March 17th of 2008. Happy St. Patrick's Day! I'm your host, Amanda, and with me is the crack technical staff, Johnny. Hi, Johnny.
Yarr!
No, that's Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Were there Irish pirates?
Probably.
There you go.
I really don't know.
Yarr! Kiss me, Blarney Stone.
Yeah, that's very good. Where's me Lucky Charms?
They're magically delicious.
Episode number 94 was supposed to feature one Jeff Sackman of the SB Nation Brewers website, blog, Brew Crew Ball. But when we tried to have him on the program yesterday, our radio equipment, our recording equipment, was picking up AM radio.
Right.
You could very distinctly hear Maury Manny's in the background calling a Ball State game or some game of some sort. It shouldn't have been Ball State because Ball State's season has ended.
Maybe it was going backwards through time then.
Perhaps we were picking up,
you know, if we
signals from the past.
Lived closer
maybe
to where the aurora borealis
like frequency
were
this
then
very much like the movie Frequency.
Then I could explain it, but since we don't live anywhere close to the
but
Northern
I tell
lights.
You what, that would be a significantly less exciting story, whereas you know he had, you know, his time travel and
murders
the murder
and
of his mother
untimely
and everything
deaths, and, yeah.
And this would be us listening to like a
month basketball old basketball game. From, yeah, that would be boring.
Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't record it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But we'll be talking with, hopefully we've got the situation worked out, and we'll be talking to Jeff tomorrow and get two podcasts up in short order, which is totally appropriate since it's been so long since we've put up a podcast.
That's
here
true.
On RedHotMama.com. Which leads us right into all of the stuff we've missed since the last time we
it's
talked
about
the
podcast.
It's
not all of it, but, you know, it's some of the high
the
points.
Highlights. The
you
highlights
know,
of what we've missed.
I mean, well, yeah, let's start right at the top or at the bottom, if you will.
Let's get to the bottom of the issue. Kaz Matsui. Poor guy.
Now, what is up with the explicit detail for players' injuries?
Well, you know, it's sometimes an injury is just too juicy.
I guess.
Not to share the details
like,
on.
Suffering from anal fissures, which is, I'm sure, terrible.
Yeah, it does not
but
sound comfortable.
But also an office punchline. From the TV
That's
show?
That's right. That's right.
That's, I had,
that was a good episode.
The leader, head of the office, Steve Carell's character. That's not even a real disease.
No, that wasn't him. It was Dwight.
Was it?
Yeah. Dwight had been put in charge of the health program, and he demanded to know right. what everybody's ailments were to see what they would cover.
Like calling out whoever is suffering from anal fissures and, like, poor Stanley.
It wasn't Stanley, was it? Or was it? You know, it's been so long now. I don't think it was Stanley. I think it was the other guy. The dopey guy. But I can't even remember their characters. That's how long it's been since I've watched an episode of The Office.
Yeah, I don't like watching its repeats. It
no.
doesn't hold up very
Isn't
well.
Isn't it weird? It's like the first time you watch it, it's like the first time you watched There's Something About Mary where it was funny and shocking and outrageous, and then the second time it just doesn't hold up. And right. in fact, it's kind of painful and embarrassing to watch.
Yep.
I think
Much like most of the baseball seasons of the teams in the Central.
That's true. That's true. So getting right back to those baseball teams of the Central, Kaz Matsui, he's had the surgery to repair that anal fissure, and he'll be out 2 to 3 weeks, and we'll miss the opening.
Very
he'll miss
classy.
Opening day. Thank you. I thought you'd like that.
And what's interesting about Matsui is he's never played more than 114 games in a season. He always seems to have injuries. Usually, I think they're more baseball-related than this one.
Well, we don't know this one wasn't baseball-related.
Right.
We suspect it.
Yeah.
But without
this
knowing...
This seems like something having to do with off-the-field activities. That...
without the details of how exactly one
Do
comes...
you need more than what you get?
I'm just saying I don't know what the causes
okay,
are.
Right. I don't know anything about...
It could be like hernia-related or something yeah. like that. I mean...
I didn't exactly investigate or research
just
you know, I didn't feel like typing that into the Google search bar.
At work.
And image search it, you know?
Why not? You image search twisted testicle for
at
three
home.
Seconds.
Home.
Well, get well soon, Kaz Matsui. In his place, Mark Loretta will be playing until he can come back in 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And hopefully...
not rip anything else.
Yeah, hopefully nothing more gets fizzed.
For the Brewers,
yeah?
The most interesting news from them really is Ned Yost and his plans for their lineup.
Because mm-hmm.
they have most of their positions are really set. They're not. They don't really have any battles for open spots. They've got all their starters pretty much going, returning from last year for the most part. But one of their off-season free agent signings, Mike Cameron,
mm-hmm.
will be missing the first 25 games of the season for a drug suspension, performance enhancing or something. But Ned Yost plans on having Cameron bat second when he returns, but he also wants whoever plays when Cameron's out to bat second so as not to, you know, destroy
the natural order of things.
Right.
So he's to
bug
those
the natural hubris.
So he's one of those predictable lineup guys then. Can you...
I guess.
You know, watching the Reds the last few years, with the amount of detail we have, and the shocking number of different lineups that you can actually put together with that number of players, it's sort of amusing to
think. I know that when Naren was there and kept doing all these different lineups, they kind of... lots of people criticized him for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that that really matters. I mean... Pinella for the Cubs had almost 100 different lineups too,
mm-hmm.
and they obviously won more than they lost. So I think it gets overblown, mixing it up every time. The importance of it, but it is weird when it's done for no rhyme or reason.
Mm-hmm. Which yeah, it did often seem to be done for no rhyme or reason under Naren. Yeah, I think that perhaps saying that the replacement, unless he's got a number two hitter replacement in mind,
right,
that you know just happens to work out that way, they would probably they'd be all right for 25 games playing in one order and then changing it and playing in that one for
right
a while.
I think that people can adjust to change.
Do people
just
get
a
days
bit
off?
No.
presuming they do get days off, I mean, does whoever plays in their position have to stay in exactly the same? Maybe he's got it set up by position.
Oh, it's and like, the center fielder bats second.
Yes, exactly. Center fielder
go
bats second, you know, second baseman bats first or whatever.
Bats eighth.
And apparently the pitcher bats eighth because Ned Yost is the guy this year who is going to be trying out the pitcher batting eighth.
Right. Now, La Russa for the Cardinals did it last year.
Yeah, that's
from
right.
From August on, and thinks that they were... I don't know. I've read some things that he's got mixed opinions about whether he's going to do it this year or not.
Oh, yeah.
He's waffling. But Yost seems to be all gung-ho on it. Pitcher's batting eighth. He's read these mathematical studies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad he's reading the mathematical
or
studies.
Or he has people who does it. I'm not entirely sure it's him.
You know what? That's all right.
But
delegate.
Yes.
I'm all for delegating. You know, surround yourself with a team of competent professionals and have them do the things that they're best at and then report up to you. And you can just, you know, focus on things like deciding that,
right,
that the replacement batter has to bat second.
So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, well, you know, the Brewers didn't do too bad last year.
No, and maybe this is what they needed last year to put them over.
Maybe after some stringent analysis, they determined that all that was missing last year was more consistency to the lineup.
Right.
And the pitcher batting eighth.
Right.
Moving right along in alphabetical order, the Cardinals finally signed Kyle Loesch.
How long ago?
Hello. How long ago did we see that coming?
I know.
That was so obvious. Maybe they were just waiting for us to say it.
Maybe.
Probably not.
It's so strange, though. Like, he was touted as heading into the offseason as, like, the best of the free agent market. And I think he was. Like, there's a pitcher, I believe, the Mariners signed, 4 years, $48 million, something like that, who wasn't as good as Loesch. And I think there are all these other players getting more.
Dude, can you imagine giving a 4-year contract to a pitcher who's not as good as Loesch?
No.
I mean, because he doesn't suck, but he's not 4-year contract worthy.
He's, you know, he's average to a little above.
Yeah.
Which is which makes him a solid number three, really.
Yeah.
I don't get it. He ended up signing for 1 year, $4.25 million.
Well, that's not bad.
A 1 year deal. Yeah. $4 million. That's like a steal.
I agree. Too bad it's for the Cardinals because they're not going anywhere this year.
And it looks like they only ended up signing him because of injuries to their already
right
pathetic starting
already
rotation.
Decimated rotation.
Like Joel Pinheiro, I believe, has had some
Man, oh man.
Injury issues. They're like, well, we have to have someone start.
Yeah. They do have to have someone start. That's true.
But it's so strange. I have no idea why he, Loesch, didn't end up signing for at least 2 years or something. Or
yeah, I don't know.
Like all
Mike, seems like somebody would have had you know, 2 years and $6 million for him or something like that, you know.
All I can figure is it's like backlash, long overdue backlash to the Scott Boras agency.
Maybe, but
even then,
I mean, did they backlash against any of his other clients?
That I don't know.
And I don't know if any of them are up for to be getting the big bucks anyway. So who knows?
I know that the Reds Uber prospect in the outfield, Jay Bruce. He had the Boras agency representing him, but then quit them just in the last year. So,
probably wise.
Yes.
Wise young man.
Especially if he's only getting the consensus best starting pitcher free agent, $4 million.
Yeah, that's true.
Ouch.
That's true. So what about those Cubs? How about them Cubbies?
Well, you did... We did gloss over looking up... testicular torsion earlier. That's right. What befell Felix Pie.
Testicular torsion. It sounds like testicular torture, which I imagine is what
probably
it felt like.
Is. Though the surgery to fix it, which involves... Yeah, the fix doesn't sound any better. I don't know.
It was great this weekend when we had my sister-in-law, my brother and my sister-in-law over... for St. Patrick's Day, some St. Patrick's Day fun, some drinking beer from the tap, and not literally from the tap, but,
right.
But Johnny did fill up his yard.
That was stupid.
Well, you know, you got to do it once.
Right.
Somebody gives you a yard and then comes over to your house for St. Patrick's Day, you have to then fill up the yard.
That's what I thought.
But yeah, it was a ridiculous amount of beer. Anyway, so we're talking about the testicular torsion, and she and I are just kind of like laughing about it, and it's just like everyone else in the room is making that face.
I don't want to think about that.
And, you know, me and Amber are like, oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I can't imagine how it would hurt.
Right.
It's not really funny at all. It's not. But, you know. Again, another something about Mary moment.
There you go.
What else? What's going on with them?
Well, there have been rumors all offseason that the Cubs are going to be trading with the Baltimore Orioles for Brian Roberts to serve as their leadoff man.
Because they don't have a leadoff hitter over in Cubs land?
No, apparently not.
I think they've got like two of them, don't they?
They've got Soriano. Fukudome could probably do it, though there's reluctance to throw him in there. Right,
a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, and he's not really major league tested.
What is Soriano going to do if he has that taken away from him?
I don't know. He's thrown hissy fits over all these other things, from moving from second base to the outfield back with the Nationals.
That's what I'm thinking.
He's survived, and he's got a huge contract. So.
Does he still do all right? Like, he doesn't, like, start pouting and not perform?
I haven't seen anything like that.
Well, then I guess they can do it.
He has sore hamstrings, but...
All the reason for him not to lead off.
That's right. But there's been rumors of this trade, and it's like almost seems entirely media driven. Like the Chicago media says, yes, it's on, and the Baltimore media says, no, it's not. So, like,
boy.
And then, like, yeah. So I have no idea. It just goes back and forth. Sometimes the Baltimore media is like, oh, yeah, maybe it is. But because the Orioles are selling off some players. To rebuild, but
so do the Cubs have anything good to trade for a leadoff hitter, another leadoff hitter?
I think so.
Well, maybe we'll see that happen.
There's just been so many different.
Maybe they're planning to trade Soriano.
Oh,
probably not.
No, that wouldn't.
I don't think that would make a lot of sense. But you know.
Other than that, some of their pitching battles seem to be wrapping up here with about 2 weeks to go to opening day.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Right now, the new Chicago Cubs closer. Kerry Wood.
What? Kerry Wood?
I think that's like only one out of every 3 days when they need him.
Now, how can Kerry... What about Ryan Dempster? Or, as we know him so fondly, Dumpster.
Well,
Dumpster.
He was in the running for the rotation, but now it doesn't even look like he's going to get that. He's fared very poorly.
So is he like a politician who had to give up his congressional seat to run for president and now isn't going to make president?
I think so.
So he gave up
his
closer role.
John Edwards.
So, but I mean, he's still I mean, he's still out there, like, making claims that the Cubs are taking it all this year and stuff, right? I mean,
he's kind of wacky. Either that or unbalanced, you know, a little.
Well, that could be, too.
I don't know.
So, but he's going to make the rotation. I mean, not the rotation, but he's going to make the
I would think so. Bullpen. It's possible that they'll, the Cubs will make a trade to
dump Dumpster?
Or Marquise.
Marquise.
Jason Marquise.
Who would take Marquise?
I don't know. He's making like $8 to $9 million a year.
Oh, jeepers creepers. What were they
for two
thinking?
More years as a 3-year deal.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Come on, Cubs. Have you seen this guy play? So I guess that means that would mean Marquise has to be in if Dumpster's not going to make the rotation.
They did sign an older veteran a while ago, John Lieber, and it looks like there were some injury concerns with him at first, recovering from, but it looks like he's good to go.
All right. Well, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
And I imagine he'll be better than Dumpster or Marquise would have been. So.
Well, yeah.
It'd be kind of hard not to.
So we're almost through the Central here. Who's next?
The Pirates. They just today or yesterday cut one of their best prospects. Steve Pierce sent him down to AAA camp.
Mm-hmm. Are people happy about that? Probably not.
Probably not.
Since their AAA prospects are typically their team.
Yeah. There's some dissatisfaction with... He's Pierce is kind of blocked. There are major leaguers ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Nady and...
Oh, Xavier Nady.
And it's like, it's not players who have any higher potential than the rookie.
Right.
But the major leaguers weren't traded, so there's some, why wasn't he traded?
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, he might not be ready just yet. And so a few more at-bats in AAA wouldn't hurt.
And again, since the Pirates are not going anywhere this season, it's not like they're going to be giving up the season because they don't have his potential.
But I would expect him to be up with the Pirates before the season is over.
Mm-hmm. Sooner than later.
Sooner than later.
What about their pitching situation?
They've got, you know, kind of an average starting pitching rotation. They always have.
Mm-hmm.
But they did just sign one of them, Ian Snell, to a long-term deal.
Ian Snell, I recognize that name. Where have I heard of him before?
Probably pitching for the Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's been with them.
He's been with them all along.
Yeah, they brought him up.
Oh, the way you said that, it made it sound like you got him from someplace else.
No, it's just one of their guys. They're signing his arbitration years.
I see.
And with options, they might get a
well,
free
agency.
Well,
no wonder I've heard of him then. Duh.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to learn all these guys' names sooner than later.
Well, he's that Snell.
Ooh, that Snell.
It's hard
Can
not
you
to
smell
make
what the Rock is cooking? Yeah.
It's actually a decent deal for the Pirates if Snell continues to pitch like he has.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe actually.
I think that actually
would be a good trade bait for them to actually restock their minors.
Now this is odd, I know, but in my imagination, even though Josh Fogg hasn't been with the Pirates for a long time, he's like perennially a Pirate in my mind, and I think that I mix the two of them up because both of their last names end with a double consonant. No, that's stupid.
Right.
And yet, you know, it's a single syllable, double consonant at the end. This is the kind of connections my brain makes. Very useful to me in the world of baseball, I tell you what.
There just aren't that many that end in double consonants.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, done.
That's a single syllable, too. Yeah, but I don't think I'm going to be mixing up done with Josh Fogg. Though their first names do both have four letters.
That's true, as do their last.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe.
You know that I've always thought that's why Dunn's number is 44.
Oh,
four letters in his first name, four letters in his last name.
That makes sense.
Easy to remember.
It is.
4-4.
4-4.
And finally, to wrap things up,
we get to the Reds.
Bringing up the tail in alphabetical order of the Cincinnati Reds. Let's see.
By
what
the
do
mascots.
You got here?
You know, if we alphabetize by their city,
Cincinnati would be right up there.
Yeah.
Would it be first? No, Chicago comes before Cincinnati. Anyway. So Jeremy Affeldt's been moved to the bullpen?
Yeah, that was the guy they signed. They lured him to the team, like promising...
maybe you'll get to start.
You'll get a chance. You can compete.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah, not so much. He really blew chunks.
No joke. We saw him in person while we were down in Florida.
Yeah,
he was not that hot.
No.
Though they did end up winning that game, didn't they?
Does it really count after the first four
you know,
innings?
It really doesn't. It really doesn't, though. I will say that the Reds this year, and, you know, I can only speak to the, what the Reds have been doing because they're the only team I see every spring training, but they're leaving their starters in a lot longer this year than in previous years. It seems like in previous years, even up until the last week, the starters were out after three innings.
Yeah, and I would expect that in, like, the last day or two.
Yeah.
Because they're getting ready to move. They, you know, you want to give your guys a rest.
Sure.
Have them exhausted going into the start of the season. But it seemed like they almost never played.
Yeah, they didn't get a complete game before the season started.
I don't know that I'd expect nine innings, but, you know,
I think
seven,
maybe
eight.
Maybe one or two.
Maybe one going nine.
I don't know.
It almost never happened.
No, it didn't happen. It was just like, how are they supposed to have their stamina?
And there are already guys going five innings now, so that's... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and here we are, St. Patrick's Day.
That's right.
What else?
Well, since Baffelt's been moved to the bullpen, it's helped...
Define
what the starting rotation for the Reds will be. Aaron Harang, Bronson Arroyo, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Fogg...
Looking good, huh?
Yeah, he's pretty much made it.
So
and then...
Much, do you know off the top of your head how much Josh Fogg is making? How does he compare to Kyle Loesch?
I think it's right around the same. I think it's right around $4 million 1 year.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then, in a surprise, right now the leading who Baker, the manager, seems to be favoring is two rookies.
Yeah, that is surprising.
No major league actually.
Not only are they rookies, but they're actually doing pretty well.
Yeah, very well.
So, I mean, even more surprising.
Yeah. Johnny Cueto and Edinson Volquez.
All right.
Volquez was the pitcher the Reds got when they traded Hamilton to the Rangers.
Oh, that's right. I wonder how Hamilton's doing with the Rangers. I had to look that up. He seemed like Texas was a good fit for him for some reason.
It did, yeah. I listened to one of their spring training games. They were playing one of the Central teams,
mm-hmm.
and he hadn't come alive with his bat yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
So, but that was like a week or so ago, so it was still pretty early.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
he was running on adrenaline all of last season. Wasn't
I think so. But that's what looks like the Reds' starting rotation will be, which is kind of surprising. No Homer Bailey.
Yeah.
He's pretty much...
Man, he has not been awesome at all.
Can't throw strikes.
So what do you think? What do you think of Homer Bailey?
I don't know.
Are you prepared to call him a bust yet?
Oh, gosh, no. You'd have to wait three or four more years for that.
Yeah. Yeah, if he gets
he's still very young.
If he gets to three more years, though, and he still is too afraid to throw strikes, then
yes.
It's going to be kind of a...
Oh, well.
Yeah. It's one of those situations where you kind of don't want to face him. Yeah, you could still make it, kid.
I bet he'd be traded by then.
Yeah. Well, maybe to a team that would know what to do with him.
Maybe.
Because, you know,
but
not for nothing, but...
With that rotation, those five, that leaves last year's starter... Matt Belisle out and in
That's
the bullpen.
Right. We also saw Matt Belisle pitch while we were
did.
In Florida.
He struggled, but he rebounded. I mean, he worked through. He obviously didn't have his best command, his best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Got the bases loaded, but then worked his way out of it, which I thought was a good sign.
Well, are they going to have him pitching out of the bullpen?
I would think so.
Yeah.
He's been more effective out of the bullpen than as a starter.
You know, Matt Belisle is one character that always shocks me how young he is.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like he's been around for so long, and he's still very young. He's like, I don't know, 26, something like that. And just, I mean, which isn't like rookie young, but it's young enough that it seems like, man, hasn't he been around longer than that? There you go. Yeah, and he's unfortunately been knocked out of the Reds' hottest, NLC's hottest baller competition, which
that,
you know,
that's
may have
still
been
going on?
What it was. Yeah, we're down to our, we're in the final four now. We've got both of the contests up for the final four.
Oh.
We'll be doing the championship here in about a week after the last two wrap up and voting is. I think that, you know, if any of those Brad Ausmus fans are out there, you better organize and get in there and start voting because, you know, Bubba Crosby's difficult to beat. He is very difficult to beat. He inspires lots of votes. You know, whether there are lots of different votes or lots of the same vote, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Not really.
So it says right in the rules that there are no rules. But yeah, so if there's any Brad Ausmus fans out there, you better get over there and vote a few times because it's not looking good for your man. And I don't know what the last time when I checked in on the LaRue Brandon Phillips competition, they were neck and neck.
Yeah, last I saw it was tied 50-50.
Yeah. both a couple of really hot ballers.
And
so we'll look forward to that.
None of them are twisted.
Good for them.
So far.
So far. So we'll be looking forward to that in just another week, and we'll be declaring our winner a week after that when voting closes on that. We'll also be looking for having Jeff Sackman of the Brew Crew Ball on the show, hopefully tomorrow, assuming that we can get our recording equipment to stop picking up AM radio.
Right. That's what I want my radio to do, not my phone.
You know, and it was really clear.
I know. I just sat here and listened. Like,
of course,
oh.
It was really clear to us. He couldn't hear it at all.
No, so we were.
So we sounded like complete nut jobs. Like,
more than usual, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll be looking forward to that, and looking forward to the spring training and what the opening of the season has to bring. So keep on hanging in there, and we'll see you at the ballpark.
The Red Hot Broadcast is produced weekly, most of the time. Let us know what you think by leaving a review on iTunes or a comment on the blog at red-hot-mama.com.